Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you from the historic Clay County Courthouse. Here in the old clerk's office, we have got a whole bunch of people in here this morning. Got some folks from the Clay County, the Clay County SADD Anti-Drug Coalition. And we'll be talking to them a little bit. They just recently returned from a national convention down in Florida, I believe. I know, you know, that some jobs are rough, but, you know, people just got to take the good with the bad. And they'll be talking about that. And Mr. Daniel Roberts here this morning and his new assistant. What is her name again?
Cody Thompson.
Cody Thompson. And they'll be talking about the trip and talking about the program itself and got an upcoming event here that I think this has been going on for a pretty good while in different variations, I think, over the years, different sponsors and things like that. And that is the Clay County Safety Day. We'll be talking about that here in a few minutes. And, of course, along that line, I've got to thank all the folks that make this show possible each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock, where we're on WVFB FM 101.5, coming to you live in the living color from the very, very miles-high tower out at Midway. And we will be just spreading this message out all around the area here, and hopefully got lots of folks listening this morning. And if you know of anyone you need to call, tell them to switch us over to 101.5 and do that. And we will, of course, like to thank the folks that make this possible, the Chamber of Commerce, the three-star folks, and all the great folks that spend their money and sponsor things here on the radio station over at 101.5. And I think the Anti-Drug Coalition does quite a bit of that. And, of course, I don't think they even realize that the company they were doing this through was actually our radio station here in town. I know a lot of folks listen to it, and they don't realize that this is ours. This license belongs to Salina. And we're thankful that we have it, and we're thankful for all the folks that listen in. We remind you that this will be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and also it'll be streamed on the Bell Hall Horizon site as soon as they pull it down out of the cloud and get it up there. So it'll be available at any time that anyone wants to listen to it. And with that, I think we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and I think I've got one public service or a couple of public service announcements to make. And we'll be right back in just a minute. The Clay County.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Okay, welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, close to it.
Once again, we're here at the Clay County Courthouse, the original historic Clay County Courthouse, that is getting ready to celebrate her 150th birthday next year. And we're going to have a great big old celebration for that one weekend here before long. And we'll be talking about that more as this time draws a little bit closer. And, of course, here at the courthouse, we're working on our Rolly Hole Marble Museum. We're in the process of getting that going. We had lots of good ideas, but we're finally finding some people that help us, that are going to help us get these ideas out of our head and down and executed. And I told someone the other day we'd like to execute all these plans, but we don't want to kill them. So I don't know how we pull that off, but... One announcement here, and that is the, a little bit later on, I'll be making this one again, that is the Clay County Mobile Food Pantry Second Harvest. We'll be doing a food giveaway, and it's down here in a couple of weeks on Friday, August the 12th, of course, down at the fairgrounds by the women's building. And they warn people, you know, don't start lining up at daylight. Kind of wait till up in about 8 o'clock before you start lining up. And this is for Clay County residents. And two families per car will be allowed to pick up the food. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. And another warning for everyone out driving, to be careful. School's getting ready to start. The big yellow buses are going to be running again. And remember the traffic flow in front of where our schools are located, and be especially careful there. And just be careful everywhere when you get out on the highways. And I know that we have lots and lots of traffic here in Clay County. We have log trucks running up and down the road all day long. I know we have, I don't know how many thousand vehicles that actually come through the four-way stop here in Salina every day. And of course, one of the things we're trying to do now is get about one out of every 100 of them stop and spend $5 when they come through. So, but there's lots of things going on. I know we've got our museum celebration coming up here in a little while here, the first weekend in August, and we've got a couple of things: our moonshine car show coming up, and our chili supper coming up down in a chili dinner coming up contest coming up here in I believe that's in October. So we've got some things going on here in Salina, and we want to just keep everyone reminded to attend our events here in Clay County, and don't take all your money to Cookeville. Spend quite a bit of it here in Salina. I know you can find most everything you want, and a lot of our prices are actually better than a lot of the big-time box stores, so check all that out. And with that, I guess we'll let our guests introduce themselves this morning. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
And you are, well, you got to tell us who you are.
I'm Daniel Roberts. I work for the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition as a prevention coordinator.
And?
I'm Cody Thompson. I also work for the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition, and I am a coordinator myself.
And?
I am Mason Bridges. I'm a Clay County Stag Club member.
And you do what?
I don't exactly know what I do.
I'll listen to what they tell me to do.
Mason is part of our youth sector, our SAG club.
Does that mean he's in high school? Or?
Yes.
So you're a high school student. What class are you, what year?
I'm going to be a sophomore this upcoming school year.
Oh, yeah, very youngster yet, aren't you?
And I'm Sarah Anderson, and I'm a SAG club member.
Okay, you need to get real close to the microphone when you talk. Try that again now.
I'm Sarah Anderson, and I'm a SAG club member also.
All right. And you, what year of school are you in?
I'm a senior.
You're a senior, so you're getting ready big year this year. Senior pictures and all of this kind of thing. And now you're not worried about having enough credits or anything like that, are you, to graduate? And
no.
So you're good to go.
Yeah, I got double the amount of credits you need to graduate.
So, and you're, what are your, while we got you here, what are your plans after high school?
I'm going to become a lawyer and I'm going to get my LPN.
So you're going to go through the whole process of law school. And are you coming back here to practice law or are you going to?
I'm not exactly sure.
Well, you're welcome to come back.
We're welcoming, right?
Yeah. Okay, now I know we've got a whole bunch of things to talk about. Danny, it's been a while since you've been here.
We've had a lot going on since I've been here last.
You want to kind of fill us in on some of the things?
This past summer's been very busy. Our youth sector, Cody and I, we've been traveling. With COVID, we didn't get to do very much traveling the last couple of years, so we were just very grateful to be able to get out on the roads and to be able to hop on a plane and to go and travel to these places to be able to implement, learn things to implement and bring back. So first thing that we had done, I guess we can talk about, we went to Chattanooga to a conference that was called Tennessee Strong. And that conference is put on by the Tennessee Department of Health for our wonderful health educators. Shout out to Miss Sandy Swanson out there. She's wonderful. We appreciate her help in getting us there to the conference. So that conference, Tennessee Strong, it focuses on tobacco education. It trains us up to look at our policies in our school system and to see what the policies are and see if we need to make any changes as a youth sector. We went through different leadership aspects there, and it was just a fun time through and through. And we also got to visit the City Cafe down there. It was very good food and the wonderful cheesecake. It was a big for what you get. So that was one trip that we went on. And
Let's stop right there and let's talk about that trip on smoking.
Yes.
Yeah. If any of y'all happened to watch the news last night, I believe it was down in Montgomery County where they have passed some regulations down there about vaping in school. Mm-hmm. And that they were, I know their program was to, that they'd had something in their system where if you were caught vaping or vaping materials while you were at school, I think you automatically went to detention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they have come up with a plan where they're going to have a process where they try first to educate the mm-hmm. students against those type of things.
Absolutely.
And there was like a three or four process thing before they actually went to this bad, kicking you out of school for a few days.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I know the way things have changed from the time that I was in elementary school, even at Salina Elementary School, there was a little place across the creek down there in the football field that was a smoking ground for the grade school.
Oh, my.
And at the high school, there was an area there where it's dropped on me again. Is that better, Randy? Let me turn it up a little bit. We're going to have to repair this thing. And that's kind of the way things have changed.
Right.
We finally have realized that this is a serious problem, especially among teenagers.
Absolutely.
And do you have any stats right now about smoking among teenagers right now that's off the top of your head?
Well, I can say off the top of my head, I apologize, I do not have stats. But this year is our student data survey year. So every 2 years we conduct a survey that includes every substance, methamphetamines, marijuana, underage drinking, parents talking to their students or their kids about these issues, as well as tobacco. So In the next couple of months, we will have new and fresh data out there about what our current students are seeing and what they're experiencing, and just data if they're honest about if they're using or not.
Okay, yeah. Now I'll let you continue on.
All right.
Where you're at.
You want to talk about that program?
Yeah, sure. So our public health educator, Sandy Swenson, we met with her several months ago, and she discussed some of the programs that that are available. So basically, back to what you were saying, it's kind of an educational program that students can choose to do. Some of them are mandatory, some of them are not, to kind of replace some of these punishments. So, you know, there is education involved. So that is part of what our students learn this summer and they want to bring to this new school year because they feel very strongly about tobacco use and they realize that the situation is somewhat getting out of control. As far as now current policy, there are, what I see, pretty good guidelines. They say that it's just not being enforced, so that's where we're going to focus.
We do have state laws about, you know, vaping and those materials. I think statewide laws, it's not supposed to be happening.
Absolutely.
But these two guys can probably tell us real quickly that it does happen at the schools. There are students that are vaping and probably even some slipping somewhere and lighting up a cigarette or something. But, it's something that I guess it is a serious public health problem, that is smoking and the vaping thing among our teenagers and school, even all the way down into our junior high school.
Right.
I know.
And education's a big part of it. You know, when you know what you're doing, when you know what you're putting in your body, you know, that helps influence the decision about doing a certain action that an individual would do.
Going back again, remembering the films they used to bring out and show us of where they'd opened up a chest cavity and showed the lungs of a longtime smoker.
Mm-hmm.
They probably still do those things, a little bit of a scare tactic type thing, but, you know, that was an eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
I think that convinced me when I was about 4 years old I didn't want to smoke.
Right.
Okay.
And I just continue on our next trip that we went on. We went to West Tennessee to Tennessee Teen Institute. This institute has been going on for quite some time. It used to be split up into three institutes. And then Christy Towns, director at Jacoa in Jackson, Tennessee, she brought it to just one institute. And I've been attending there. This year is my sixth year. I went as a student, and now I'm an advisor going. But we got to take three boys to Tennessee Teen Institute. There we learned more leadership aspects and more things to bring back to the community. And that was just a great time. It was just from Sunday to Friday, just jam-packed of, you know, workshops and just different trainings that we can bring back to the community. Those students are not. Mason is here.
Yeah, I'm here
today. Do you
forgot about me.
I apologize, but do you want to talk about Tennessee Teen Institute?
Oh yeah, I would love to. So with TTI, it was pretty much like you said. It was jam packed. I mean, you'd wake up in the morning, you'd go, and I mean, you'd be going the whole day. You'd get back, your feet would be hurting, but it was an amazing time. I met some amazing people. You know, what they basically did is you would go there with the people you went there with. So it was me and Daniel and Cody and the three, and me and two other guys. And then they would split all of us off into different groups with people that we've never met. None of the people in your group have ever met each other. You know, and it was great getting to know those people and become good friends with those people. And a lot of them I'm still in good contact with and, mm-hmm. you know, become some really great friends. So it's honestly a really nice place. Got to stay in a college dorm and all kinds of stuff. It was a really nice experience, honestly.
Okay, yeah. And the major thing you brought back from that?
Major thing I brought back from that helped me with leadership skills and being more kind of like, don't know exactly how to describe it, being more outgoing when it comes to meeting new people, more vocal.
Yeah.
And did you, I guess I'm trying to think of how to kind of phrase this. Did you come back with a different attitude toward, I mean, people other than people you're normally with? I mean, what was it like the first time you walked up there and started talking that you never met before, didn't know them?
Well, I mean, honestly, it was kind of nerve-wracking. It was for everybody meeting new people and no one. But the thing, you know, you had to realize is everybody in there was in that situation. You know, nobody had ever met each other, you know.
But of course, it really wasn't like meeting a stranger out on the sidewalk and starting a conversation. Well, you knew that you were there with like-minded people.
Yeah.
It made you quite a bit easier, didn't it?
Yeah.
We like to say at TTI, you come as strangers and you leave as family. It's about 650 students, 82 advisors, plus 120 staff members that put TTI on. I've been on staff for 4 years and an advisor, so I'm kind of doing a dual row there. But it's just a wonderful event, and we just appreciate being able to go and to participate in TTI.
Okay, now, you're an upcoming sophomore.
Yeah.
So you attended there as a freshman.
Yep.
And I'd have to say a very, very nice choice to send, just based on a very short conversation here.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure that you didn't have a whole lot of trouble making friends.
Right. So we can just move on for our last...
Before we go further, let's work in a word from the sponsors. We have to pay for this thing.
Yes.
And when you get to having fun, sometimes you forget that.
Right.
You got to do some business things.
Right.
But we'll be right back in a few minutes after these words from our sponsors.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
When natural disasters happen, it can impact your emotional health. Flooding, ice storms, strong winds, tornadoes, it can be overwhelming. The Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition reminds you the Disaster Distress Helpline can provide you immediate counseling to help you cope. 1-800-985-5990. If you need help coping with the mental and emotional impacts caused by Tennessee natural disasters, get help now. Call 1-800-985-5990. Don't let natural disasters overwhelm you. The Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition reminds you to keep the hotline number close by. 1-800-985-5990. This project is funded under a grant contract with the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. When Mother Nature impacts the Upper Cumberland, help is available. Please call or text the Disaster Distress Helpline at 1-800-985-5990.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 943-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. 64% of Tennesseans know someone who has become addicted to prescription pain medication. Despite this alarming number, many individuals still think prescription medication addiction and misuse happens to other people and not their households.
Count it.
Count your pills every 2 weeks to make sure none are missing.
Lock it.
Lock your medications in a safe place to prevent accidental poisonings, medicine theft, and misuse that could lead to prescription drug addiction.
Drop it.
Anonymously drop off your unused or expired prescriptions in the disposal bin located at the Clay County Sheriff's Office, located at 400 Westlake Avenue, Salina, Tennessee, 38551.
This is a message brought to you by the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
For information and referrals concerning addiction issues, please call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. This project is funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, I've got this fine-looking group here with me this morning. Somebody's doing a big yawn down there. I thought we were more excited. Daniel, I believe you were getting ready to...
All right, well, we'll just move on down the drain here. So our next evening, our next trip that we went on, it was a wonderful trip, once-in-a-lifetime trip. We got to take eight of our students from our youth club to Orlando, Florida. Some of them, it was their first flight for an airplane, some first time in an airport, you know. So,
well, if you fly, it's better with an airplane.
So we went to Orlando, Florida to SAD Nationals. That is Students Against Destructive Decisions. That is the organization that we kind of work under for our student sector at the Coalition. And we have two of our students here with us today that went on that trip, Sarah Anderson and Mason Bridges. You know, me and Cody, we can't really say their experiences, so, you know, we can turn it over to them to let them talk about SAD Nationals. And if we, you know, at the end, if, you know, we have something to say, we can just tune on in. So we'll turn it over to them.
Okay, guys, move in close to the microphone.
All righty, so SAD Nationals.
Tell us about taking off. That started at the beginning of the trip.
At the beginning, all right. Got to Salina at 3 in the morning. You know, that was nice.
Yeah. No, it was more like 2:30.
Sorry. Left at 3. And then... we got to that airport, first time going through TSA, you know, didn't say bomb, you know, no matter how tempting it was.
You know, that you don't joke with those guys.
No, they were intimidating, I'll tell you that. But we got through TSA, I went through it good, you know, and then we took off, first time ever being in a plane or anything, you know. So it was kind of scary, but...
Nobody lost their luggage.
There you go.
Yeah, we thought we about lost it for a sec when we landed in Florida. We were like, oh, man, they've lost their luggage. But nah, we got it. Just took it.
But it's just like, yeah, it's just like riding the bus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, ours had to come out last on the luggage carrier.
We had so many, right? We had so many students with us with luggage.
And you sit there and yank them things off that line when they come around. You can't get them all the first time. And you think, well, somebody will steal this when it goes back around and I'll lose all my clothes.
Well, if it goes around two times, it's fair. It's up for grabs.
Okay, now then we got to leave the airport.
Well, that was a bit of a struggle. We were there for like an extra, what do you say, hour?
Hour or two.
Yeah, looking for transportation.
Looking for transportation.
12 people, you know, it's hard to get Ubers for 12 people. So we were blessed enough to be able to pay for a coach bus to get us from the airport to our Disney resort that we stayed at, Coronado Springs.
Coronado Springs, beautiful resort. It was absolutely beautiful. The rooms were amazing, you know. Got a Keurig machine. I can make some coffee in the morning. That was nice.
So you just adapted fairly well then to get
here. Yeah, I would say.
You just made yourself at home.
Yeah, so I say Orlando, Florida, but yes, we did go to Disney World. That's where the event was held this year. We were very grateful that it was held there because, you know, that was, for me personally, that was an experience of a lifetime to be able to go to Disney and to be able to experience the resorts and just the magic of Disney. But we always say this when we report it out at our coalition meeting, yes, we went to Disney. But that wasn't the real reason we were there. We were there just to be there with like-minded individuals there for a common goal, and that is to just learn more, to bring back to our community, to engage our minds and just to broaden them and just to learn more and to just bring back. So what did y'all learn? What did y'all bring back from SAD Nationals that we can talk about?
Well, personally, from SAT Nationals, it did help. They gave us resources to use and statistics and speakers and other things we can bring back for this year to help, you know, get the message across to the student body.
Okay, let's let your female counterpart tell us what a day down there was like, well, just a typical day, if you can put all that in focus there, just like that.
Well, we had Daniel beating down our door at like 7 o'clock in the morning to get ready. That was fun. And then we all made our way downstairs, and then... And we all walked down to the convention center in blazing hot sun, but that was fun, too, because we all had a laugh out of it.
It was hot down there being in Florida, but we persevered, so...
So you went to the convention center, and you walked in there, and what did you see when you first walked in there?
There was a lot of people. There was 42 states in that one room.
And each one of them brought, how many guys did you take?
We took 12.
And you maybe...
There was eight students.
So were you one of the, most people bring about that many? Some of them bring a whole bunch more.
I could say that, you know, 8 to 12 would probably be the max number, yeah.
So that's a pretty good chunk of people there.
Yeah.
And you got to speak to all of them, I'm sure.
Not all of them. I spoke to some of them, like outside and trying to make friends and stuff.
Okay, and I'm sure once you got, then you broke up into groups, I would say. Was there just a general overall meeting to begin?
So I believe at SAD Nationals this year, there was such a huge group that they weren't actually able to break up into different sessions. So we kind of all stayed together in the same room. It, of course, was a huge room. Also, I'll add that for SAD Nationals, it was their 40th anniversary, which was very special because it happens to be Disney's 50th anniversary. So we got to celebrate and do a little birthday bash for SAD at one of the Walt Disney World resorts, So we went to Epcot, and that evening, most of us were able to find the location and get there. To celebrate.
That sounds like maybe someone didn't make it there.
Well, we learned that there are multiple bridges at Epcot. So if anyone's not aware of that, there are multiple bridges there.
Very, very big. Disney's just remarkable with how big it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it really is.
The size and the scope of things there, and all the different worlds there, Epcot world.
Walt Disney World itself seems to be like its own city, its own town, really. And inside you have so many resorts, all the different parks. So we were able to hit two of those. We went to Magic Kingdom, and then we spent a night at Epcot. So
I think Epcot was supposed to be, what, the city of the future?
Yes.
Very futuristic.
Okay, so they're still advancing that when they opened up whatever it was, the 1960s or whatever. And they were talking about having monorails and all those kind of things. And those are quite common in there, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I'll add as well on our end with the students, we had prepared ahead of time for the conference to participate in something called the Mobilization Station. And we had four brave individuals, two seniors, and two sophomores participate in the Mobilization Station. And what they had done is they printed off some pictures of what we did in the past year at the school. And it was the Prom Promise that we did previously in May. And they just simply created a board about it and presented it in front of a panel of judges, and they just talked about what we had done at the Prom Promise. So I just want to give them a shout out this morning if they're listening. We're very proud of them for standing up, being brave, and saying, yes, I want to talk about what I had done in my community. And that was the Prom Promise. We did get a participation trophy mailed to us, so that was wonderful. We didn't win first, second, or third place, but in our hearts, they're number one, and they're just wonderful and just wonderful leaders just to be able to be a part and stand up and be the one to say, yes, I'm a leader in my community, and this is what we've done. And they're proud to have talked about what we have done. So, yeah.
Okay, now back to you two guys. Individually, something that give each one of you a chance, something that really stood out in your mind as being very important there at that conference.
Well, personally, for me, what stood out was more of the mental health aspect. They did talk about mental health some, and that is a very, you know, that subject is a very near and dear to my heart, and I feel it's a very important issue that is often overlooked.
And, okay, now, that type of thing, just exactly what did you bring back, you know, when things that you want to do, things that maybe spark things that in your psyche that you would like to see done.
I guess touch on that.
Okay,
I went blank.
So this year, and we discussed this, we met with our students to get a game plan really just for this year, things that we want to implement in this school year, those plans that we had made at these conferences that we had attended, you know. So we had spoke about getting with the high school to do more of an information booth, so we have resources available all the time for students that may need them, and not just in prevention, but we also want to add in a mental health aspect because we see, you know, with COVID, a lot of the high school students are dealing with it. So I was really glad that a lot of our conferences that we attended this summer included mental health.
Okay, and two high school students now, since she brought this up, the effect of COVID on you guys and your mental well-being, your education, your social life, let's hear a little bit from that angle.
Well, it was really scary at the beginning because COVID started right at the end of my freshman year, so I didn't even get to go to school my sophomore year. And I wanted to go, but I didn't want to bring the sickness back into my house because of the well-being of my parents and grandparents and stuff like that. And then how it affected my school is that I wasn't getting the teaching that everybody else was. I was just getting emails saying, hey, do this paper. I'm sorry if you don't understand it, but there's no way for me to help you. Because you can't email a teacher during class and ask them to help you when they're teaching a whole room full of students.
Okay, so we didn't have that physical one-on-one type thing with our online here. I mean, I know that's something that it takes a whole lot of planning, a whole lot of work, and a whole lot of people. And, you know, when you've got, like you said, a teacher on a normal day, she would be standing up in front of anywhere from, 12 to even as high as 30 students at one time. And they would all be receiving the same message, and all have a chance to do feedback at that time. So that's something that you were cheated out of during that year. You know, I know back years and years ago when we started, we had these online classes, golly, I know 25, 30 years ago here in Clay County, back at Hermit Springs, we used to have the Exceed classroom down there. And I know one of the things that a lot of the teachers said that that they missed was that they couldn't touch their students, not physically touch, but touch them individually with conversation and with just being in the room with them. And that is something I know that a lot of online stuff, you know, there is a lot of online one-on-one where teacher-student can have a face-to-face online thing, but there's still not that personal thing. It's kind of hard to tell what you two guys' personality is on a TV screen. But now that you're back in school, do you think from your student viewpoint that you have lost a tremendous amount, or do you feel like that you are catching back up and you're maybe back at the level you should be now in your social life, your academic life, all these things? Just your opinion on those things.
Well, I would think that I feel like I'm starting to catch back up, but there was a dip in, you know, my grades and everything when COVID hit, and I was virtual for like the first half of eighth grade year. And I mean, it was, and it does take a toll on your social life, because, you know, it's one thing if you talk to your friends, you know, on the phone or text them, but it's a whole nother ball game to go and see them. You know, you have to, it's a lot better to see them in person and have that like in-person conversation with them.
I kind of agree with what Mason said. It was, you know, you get used to talking to your friends almost every day whenever you're at school, then whenever you're not at school and they are, you kind of just lose touch with them, because after school they'll have homework, they'll have other stuff to do, and you just don't have, they just don't have the time for y'all to talk and communicate like you would when you were at school, and that resulted in people losing their friendships and not being like, and with the academic thing, it's...
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. It's a struggle, right? Yeah. So, and you're learning to, you know, get better at it, and you're turning the mend on it, you believe, right? So, and even with us, with the coalition, I started in May of 2020, and that was in the midst of everything, and you know, we had to adapt to virtual Zoom meetings. We had to adapt to drive-through drug take-backs. Even with our school system, our wonderful advisor, Kathy Short, we're so grateful for our school systems, because without them, I don't know what we would have done. Miss Tia, and Mr. Upchurch, they're just wonderful at that time, because we had to have a virtual Zoom meeting with our students, with Ms. Kathy being in the school systems and I myself not being able to be in the school system and be able to be face-to-face with our students to implement the ideas that they were wanting to implement, and it was just a difficult time. But we're grateful now, looking back on it. There was a challenge, but we persevered, and we turned the mend on it, and this year, you know, we can say that we're fired up, we're ready to go. We have even more ideas we want to implement. We want to be in the school even more. We're grateful, grateful for our relationship with the school system and the community members that we have. We're just very excited, right, guys, this year.
Okay, let me ask one more thing for two students. What about this effect of self-responsibility? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I would say with online schooling, you know, you don't have the teacher there that, you know, can be on, not that they're that way at school, but like that they can be, they're not able to like be on your back 24/7, get this done. So I think it did kind of also help with some people growing, growing and having that self maturing and having that responsibility to get that done on. They can just get it done because they know how they have to get it done.
Well, it probably forced a little bit of maturity on you guys, didn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where you were used to mom and dad or the teacher being there saying, hey, you got this done yet? And do you think it made you more aware of self-responsibility and improved that level of your character?
Yes, absolutely. I remember I'd fall asleep in class where I wouldn't have enough sleep, or I'd just be really tired. I'd fall asleep, and the teacher would come over and be like, you need to wake up and get your work done. But at home,
if I was doing my homework on my computer and I fell asleep, there was nobody there to tell me, hey, get up, do your work. So that really made me be more responsible of getting, go to bed at a reasonable time, wake up, have enough hours of sleep to be able to stay awake throughout the whole day and do my homework as it was coming through to me at each class period during the day.
But now you're back in that classroom. I will give you one little short story on the student going to sleep in my class. At that time, if you look at the old gymnasium, there was a classroom there in the upstairs front above the concession stand, and I got assigned to teach in that room one year, and I had this young man who continually went to sleep. So one day we kind of plotted, and we very quietly eased out of the room while he was asleep and locked the door behind us. And left him up there in the room, locked in the room. And when the bell rang, we were all out in front of the gym looking through the window. He sat in the back row, you know, where he could hide in the room where we could see him. And the bell goes off, you know, and it's wake up, look around, nobody here, and then go over to the door and can't get, you know, well, what do I do next? I mean, this kind of thing. So next time you go to sleep, kind of somebody may, you know, try to break you from that. Okay, now, guys. What about, you know, I know we've talked about some of the things that you brought back that you're, I know you've talked about some of the things you're going to implement, some of the things that you're looking to implement this coming school year, or not this school year, but this year, that you would like to, you know, fill folks in on a little bit, some of the plans and ideas that you have.
Of course, it's all a pending approval with the school systems. We just, you know, want to have more speakers come this year, if all possible, just, you know, like we said, have more of a mental health aspect to what we implement in our personal time for our meetings. I would like to have more reflection time. We always start our meetings with a icebreaker or a get-to-know-you game. We're going to continue to do that just to broaden communications with one another and strengthens relationships within the club. Cody, do you have anything that you're thinking of that we want to implement?
Not necessarily. This will be my first full year working with the SAD Club students, and I am very excited. I myself have learned a lot alongside these students this summer, so I feel really good about this school year, and I'm hoping that we can grow the club. I know we lost a few seniors that were very active in the club. They're on to bigger and better things, of course, so we're hoping that we'll have a couple students join the SAD Club and hopefully fill those shoes. So.
And I guess what I can say there is, parents out there that are listening, if your student, all students are leaders, and we just got to give them a nudge, right? So, just talk to them about our SAD Club and talk to them about being engaged with us, because we're a completely free club. We're one of the only free clubs that are out there, because we pay for the fee for them, the coalition does for the youth sector for the SAD membership. So we just want to invite you all to talk to your teams and talk to your children about the SAD Club if they're 9th through 12th grade. We would love to have them, freshmen to seniors, just to be a part and then volunteer. Even you all out there, if you're listening, if you just feel a need to volunteer, the coalition is always in need of volunteers. We always have these events, and I'll talk about our next event coming up here soon, this coming Saturday.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes here. Let's talk about Safety Day now.
Okay, yeah, so I'll just move on along in there. So Clay County Health and Safety Day, this has been our annual event. Those that have been in Clay County would have heard about our event by now. But this year, we're hoping it to be one of our biggest. We are partnering up with Duo, Do Unto Others, and that is out of Life Church in Livingston and Cookeville and Sparta. They're bringing their Duo buses. They're going to have a food bus, hopefully with some food, and free wellness checks for anybody that needs, you know, medical care. They'll give you a free consultation for medical.
Who's doing that?
Do Unto Others. So they're bringing in their own team.
Okay, so they're handling all of those things.
Yeah, their team of volunteers. They're physicians, obviously, so they're trained and all that. And then we're going to have free haircuts by Duo. They're bringing in licensed cosmetologists We are not sure if it's going to be local or if it's going to be Living Center Cookeville Cosmetologist, but that's going to be an available option there that day. Obviously, more free food. The Coalition will have food as well inside the women's building. And, of course, free school supplies. You know, that's what we're trying to do is, with this free event, it's very important because we bring together and help bridge the gap for all of our different sectors that we have at the Coalition that we work with, like local law enforcement, healthcare agencies, our different safety simulators, like the semi-truck simulator from THP, like there are different organizations that are going to come.
Are they going to individually be doing speeches and...
Not necessarily speeches.
Do they have tables set up around where you can...
Absolutely. So in the women's building, as you enter that Saturday, we'll have different booths set up from the agencies that come. They'll have their school supplies set out on the tables in that square little section there to hand out the school supplies that they signed up to bring. And then we'll have our concessions free in the back part of the women's building.
And the time's on this.
Yes. I'll let Cody talk a little bit about it.
I'll take over a little bit. So, yes, it's going to be 9 a.m. to noon. I'm sorry. This Saturday at the fairgrounds in Clay County. There will be lots of activities and games for all ages. Of course, our main goal is to educate kids about the dangers of alcohol and drug use. There will be opioid reversal kits with Narcan available. Our RX disposal bin will be there if you need to safely dispose of medications, unused, unwanted. Yeah, I think that's pretty well covered. Of course, there will be free school supplies. So,
for free is the magic word.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely want to reiterate that. Completely free, fun for the whole family. All the children, like we said, games. We will have Freaky Dave from Zimmer Broadcasting. He's going to be coming down for us to have some games and some live music. Well, not live music, but a live broadcast with some music to talk about our event while we're there. So we've actually gotten a wonderful relationship with Freaky Dave throughout the past year, so we're excited for him to come. As I know a lot of people have heard him on the radio at 98.5. But we're just, you know, again, this Saturday from 9 to 12 at the Clay County Fairgrounds, this will be Clay County Health and Safety Day presented by the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition. Our SAD Club will be there. If you know, would like to meet some of the ones that have been on the radio this morning, they'll be there. You know, we just love to see you out that morning, rain or shine. You know, come. We'll have...
We have the EMT folks there this year.
Absolutely, yes. We have them there. We'll have LifeLight come and land, so the helicopter will be there.
Forget all this exciting stuff.
Yeah, so we have so much going on. We've been planning since the beginning of this year because this event.
Any free helicopter rides?
It won't be free helicopter, but because they'll just land. You'll get to hop in and hop back out of it. So we'll have our EMS there. We appreciate our partnership with them. We'll have boating simulators, seatbelt simulator. Our Brandon Boone, a wonderful relationship with our law enforcement. We appreciate him out there this morning. He's going to be helping us tomorrow set up our event. We thank Tanner Rich as well for just his hospitality, for always unlocking the building ahead of time and helping us with that. We just come with grateful hearts this morning because we have such a great community. We have great students that are great leaders, and there's so many people that want to volunteer and so many agencies that want to be a part. And we just can't thank you all enough for being a part and wanting to see change happen in our community for the positive.
Okay, now I want to do one more thing with our students down here. During the school day, guys, how have you managed this thing where you see this student that obviously – needs your help? What can you do without being intrusive, overbearing, or know-it-all, or hey, I know this, I know that? You may have not had to do it, but how do you start a conversation like that with a fellow student?
What I usually do if I see a student that obviously needs help but is too afraid to ask, I will just walk up to them and I'll be like, hey, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a long time. Or like, hey, I love your shirt. Where'd you get it? And then after we start the conversation, I'll kind of ask, hey, do you want to go over here where it's more quiet? And then I'll ask them, hey, are you okay? And if they say yeah, I'll just be like, well, I've noticed. I said, I don't know. And I'll say, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to do anything. If you still talk about it, I'll leave it, and we can just talk about something else. And if I ask them and they tell me, I will do my best to give them advice. I will do my best to try to help them. But when I see them, they kind of hurts me just a little bit knowing they're going through something and they're too afraid to stand up and ask for help.
And you're volunteering, I mean, without being, like I said, intrusive or trying to say, you know, hey, I'm better than you and I know what's wrong with you and that kind of thing. And that is the kind of thing, and I know that you guys, when you speak to someone, when they say, I'm okay, that I'm okay sometimes tells you right off when they say it that they're really not okay.
It's a cry for help.
It is. You know, I'm doing great. I'm doing okay means, you know, hey, I'm getting by, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It don't mean I'm really improving anything. And you've got to then decide, hey, how deep do I go, don't you? And I'm sure from what you're talking about that you have instituted this, and you've probably been unsuccessful, and you've been successful, I'm sure, in this. And I'm sure that the training that you've had with this group, with SAD, and there are you guys that are there in school that sometimes you know more than anyone else there, any the administration and all those things. You know that. But
with what you said about sometimes being successful and unsuccessful, most of the time, I don't want to boast or brag or anything, but most of the time people would tell me I have like a calming voice. Like it's like how I look at them or something, like a passion for them. And if they tell me, like, I'm okay, like, I don't want to talk about it, like, I'll leave it alone. Like, I won't push for anything like anybody else will, or I won't, like, say, well, I know that you did this, and if you don't tell me what's wrong, I'm going to tell everybody. Like, it's not one of those things. It's more like, okay, we don't have to talk about it, it's fine. And then they'll come to me later and be like, and then they'll tell me and ask for help.
Thank you for sharing that. And guess what? We have killed an hour, folks. We have executed an hour. And appreciate you guys being here. And I've got one more thing. That is the winner of our birthday cake today is Darlena Hale. I think she's 30 years old, and her family would like to wish her a happy birthday. And with that, I guess it's time we shut the doors to the old building here and get everything put back where it ought to be. Appreciate you being with us, and may the good Lord bless you. Keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. Don't forget to listen to us this evening at 6 o'clock on the rebroadcast. And with that, good day, Clay County. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.